How about that? There we go. Can you hear the sound of thunder? Can you hear the sound of my voice? You can if you've got it tuned to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. It's 4 p.m. Or closely thereafter. Once again, it's Thursday, time for Out of the Box. Dave Giroux is off island, so it's just me, Jonathan Jay, with you flying solo on the air today. Dominic is here with the phones, and the number is 826-7771. And we'll get to the show in just a minute after we hear from these fantastic underwriters. Thank you so much for supporting KKCR, people just like you, in conjunction with these fabulous underwriters.
Providing gentle chiropractic, acupuncture, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, electromagnetic cellular therapy, and spinal rehab. Most major health insurance plans and Medicare accepted. Open Monday through Friday, 332-5580 or online at kalaheochiropractic.com.
HawaiiGaga.com, Hawaii Vacation Rental Directory and Vacation Guide. A proud sponsor of Kauai Community Radio, HawaiiGaga also publishes the Kauai GPS Tour Guide, an audio tour of Kauai for iPhones. More information online at HawaiiGaga.com.
Grow Our Own Teachers presents Amy Hanaialii Gilliam in concert, Sunday, December 7th, at the KCC Performing Arts Center. Doors open at 6 p.m. and show starts at 7. This is a fundraiser for Grow Our Own Teachers Kauai, providing financial assistance to local public school teacher candidates. That's Amy Hanaialii Gilliam in concert Sunday, December 7th at the KCC Performing Arts Center. General and reserve seating tickets available at outlets island-wide. More information and tickets online at growkauaiteachers.org.
Kauai Concert Association announces the first concert of the season, internationally acclaimed Trio Con Brio Copenhagen, Thursday, November 20th at the KCC Performing Arts Center. Show begins at 7. That's classical music with pianos and string musicians, Trio Con Brio Copenhagen, November 20th at the KCC Performing Arts Center. More information and tickets at 245-SING or online at kauai-concert.org.
And thank you so much for all that support. It's really great. That's the way that we stay alive and thrive here at KKCR, your Kauai community radio station, the station that loves you. Today on Out of the Box, as I said a moment ago, Dave Giroux has flown the coop. He's off island over on Oahu, studying how to do effective and safe asbestos removal. Perhaps next week or week after when he gets back, we can talk about that. Won't that be fun? Meanwhile, here we are today, the 13th of November, 2014, and, you know, the season just seems to keep cycling through. There's always something new happening. We finished elections. We had some big waves came through. New babies are born. Birthdays have come and happened. It's always exciting. There's always a fresh new way to look at the world, and so that's what we like to do here. The number, if you want to call in, if you have something on your mind, you want to talk about something recent that happened on the island, is 826-7771. Let's see what else other numbers are there. Well, we'll leave it at that for now because that's a good one for local calls. We had the local elections just happened. Bernard Carvalho Jr. was reelected with about 60-something percent of the vote. And Dustin Barca, mixed martial artist and professional surfer, got almost 8,200 votes, which is pretty impressive for a first-time candidate. As far as the county council goes, a lot of people got reelected, but a couple new faces elected for the first time on the board. Mason Chalk got himself first-time elected, and Kipukai Kualii, who's run several times, also won his first actual race. So the new council, as of December 1st, I believe, will be sworn in, is Mason Chalk, Gary Hoosier, Ross Kagawa, Errol Kanashiro, also a new face on the council, Kipukai Kualii, Mel Raposo, and Joanne Yukimura. Jay Fufaro, who was the former chair, came in a close eighth place, so he will no longer be on the council. Thank you so much for your service, Jay. And we will have a new chair. I guess how it works is the people who got elected to the council decide who they want their chair to be. The voters don't have much say in it. And that's the person who will set the tenor and tone for the council business as we move forward. It's interesting to note that of all seven of the people who got elected onto the council, Mason Chalk is from Kapa'a, Gary Hoosier is from Kapa'a, Mel Raposo is from Kapa'a, Ross Kagawa in Errol Kanashiro, and Joanne Yukimura are all each from Lihue, and Kipukai Kualii is the only person on the entire county council from voters elected all over the entire county who is not directly from Kapa'a or Lihue. So I don't know what to say to folks on the North Shore, the South Side, or the West Side, but once again, you have no person from your part of the island representing you on the council. Guess we'll just have to see how that goes. Also in the news recently, we had Veterans Day, and I wanted to send a big shout-out to all the veterans in the U.S., particularly because I did a little research on this, and it turns out there's a lot of them. Over 22 million veterans in the U.S. right now, which is pretty impressive since the last war that Congress actually declared was World War II. Looking at sort of demographic trends for veteran populations as we go into the future, we were about 22 million right now, and the number is expected to slowly drop over the next 20 to 25 years. Should be only about 20 million by 2020, and dropping down to about 15 million by 2040. These are from the U.S. Veterans Administration office. And so it's impressive that there's a lot of veterans, and I'm really happy that folks are supportive of treating our veterans well when they come home from wars. But I got to thinking about all these veterans, and I'm wondering perhaps if we already have enough veterans and maybe we don't need more. It seems like some people in Congress never saw a war or a conflict zone that they didn't love and want to send more troops to. And, of course, sending more troops into more conflict zones around the world is how we can maintain a constant supply of veterans into the future. I wanted to just leave you with kind of the thought that perhaps we don't really need any more veterans. Perhaps the world might be better off with fewer veterans that we could appreciate more. U.S. Special Operations Forces in over 134 countries around the world, or 70% of all the nations on the planet, maybe we ought to find a different balance with our warlike ways of deciding how things should work in the world. Again, the number here to call in is 826-7771. We can talk about just about anything you want to today. The phone lines are open. The topics are free. If you've learned anything and you recently, which is exciting to you or challenged you, or you were surprised to discover, give us a call here at 826-7771, and we'll talk about that. So we're going to go to some music, and we'll be right back, hopefully with a call from you. Caller, I think you're on the air. Can you hear me, caller?
I think maybe someone has told her who did it. I hope that she prosecutes whoever it is. I hope they
caller.
I hope they figure it out because. And I just thought that I'd let you mention that to Jonathan. I got to go out right now. Anyways, one thing I heard on the radio today on Democracy Now!, which I listen to every day, because they're talking about Mexico. You know, because Mexico's up in arms over those kids getting killed. You know what I mean? Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello?
Which button is that?
Go ahead, keep talking.
You're still there, caller. Okay, well, I guess we'll have to come back to that next caller. The phone lines are open, 826-7771. We're freestyling it today here on Out of the Box. Just kind of leaving the phones open, letting you call in, and hopefully pressing the right buttons to get you in on over the air. So we'll try this again. There we go. The call's coming in. And it seems like...
Would you like to go on the air today?
Let's see. Let's get him right on. Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Can you hear me, caller?
Hello.
Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Let's see. Where is it? Audio? A sign?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
When I turn my radio off, you can't hear me.
Hmm. There's a button I've got to press. Can you hear me now, caller?
I can't hear. I can hear you, but if I turn my radio off, I don't hear you.
Well, there's a mystery button I'm supposed to push, which I can't figure out where on the board it is. So we'll have to just go with what we've got.
You know Kiolani and Donovan Kibibi, who do the Hawaiian Issues program on Wednesday?
Yeah.
At KKCR?
Uh-huh.
She said on the radio yesterday that she was in Ke Kaha eating at a restaurant or something with some friends, and somebody came and undid all the lug nuts on one of her tires.
Yeah, removed the lug nuts from her car.
Yeah, and that's bad.
It is. That is bad. That's not helpful for driving, for safe driving.
That's something somebody should get in trouble for doing that. I mean, that's like trying to, like, hurt somebody big time. Anyways, I hope they find out who did it, and I've got to go. Have a nice day, Jonathan.
Can you hear me, caller?
He signed off.
Oh, okay. Well, then I guess then that caller cannot hear me, but... Yes, pulling the lug nuts off a car, not good. Not very neighborly. Not a nice way to travel through the day. So what is a nice way to travel through the day? Give us a call here at 826-7771. It's beautiful. It's sunny. It's rainy. We're in the middle of the ocean. What do you think about that?
Your love, the meeting place.
There we go. Well, you know, we from the invaluable assistance of Laura Christine, the station manager, who has a great show on, I think it's Saturday nights, the Get Low show. You know, she's emulated by many, but nobody is actually her, not even me, Laura Christine. Thanks, Laura Christine, for pointing out the phone button. If you want to call in, 826-7771. The phone lines are open now, and we figured out how you can hear us on your phone. So what is new? What is new with you? What's going on here on the island that is striking your fancy? Something that was interesting to me is the big waves that came in last week. I had the pleasure of getting some of the wrap, because I'm not a big wave surfer myself, but I got some of the northwest swell wrapping around the island to the east side, and I was able to ride some waves, not quite overhead, maybe shoulder high, but for me, that was a big deal. For you, maybe you like the bigger waves. Maybe nothing gets you more excited than seeing the waves line up like corduroy to the horizon. I've never ridden on a big wave. What's it like to drop in? What's it like when you're paddling and feeling that swell come up towards you from the horizon and lift you up, and then the steepness of that face of that wave? What is that like? Give us a call, 826-7771. Right now, today, we're kind of doing freestyle, but if you've had a recent experience, like, for example, if you just ran for county council, what were the lessons that you learned? What was the surprises that you experienced? What did you discover, and what would you like to share about that with other folks? 826-7771 is our number here in the studio, and you're welcome to call in. We've got somebody just right now standing by. Going to go to you on the phone, and let's see, should be live. Aloha, caller, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, good. How are you today?
Well, I'm doing great.
Fantastic. What's on your heart or what's on your mind?
Well, I just recently saw an Abby Martin piece called, from her show Breaking the Set.
Yeah, that's a really interesting and informative show on RT or Russia Today.
Yeah, and you can go to YouTube, and if you could play her clip entitled Big Pharma Wants You High on Pills, Not Weed. And it talks about, it's very excellent. I might as well let her do the talking. I think it's a 5-minute clip, and it'll get your show started and people calling in right away, I'm sure.
Okay, well, that's pretty easy to do.
I called you because I know you're tech savvy.
Well, you know, I'm not nearly as tech savvy as I wish I were.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm sure you're more than most.
Well, you know, that may or may not be true. What I have is, I don't know if it's so much savviness, but it's just sort of a, it's like a humbleness and an insistence. If I don't know how to do something, I just keep going and going and going until I figure it out. So, you know, sometimes it involves just pressing a lot of buttons until something right happens, which is what we did on the phone. Also, this is a key secret to many people's success, especially with tech. Ask for help. Yeah, someone certainly knows more than you do, and they'll be happy to help plug you in.
Well, great, and I hope you play this clip. It's excellent. It's right to the point, and it's also very interesting, informative as well.
All right, well, we'll see if we can get to that, and thank you for calling in.
Yeah, hopefully you could get to it right away, you know. That would be really cool.
Well, we'll see. We aim to please, and we'll see what we can do.
Thank you for that. Aloha.
Aloha. All right, we're sort of got the computer running in the background here. See if we can get that up and going. But the phone lines, again, are open, 826-7771. And today is freestyle. We're going live to you and letting you talk about what you want to talk about. I think we've got the Abby Martin piece set up right now. So if I can just figure out which button that is. I'll bet it's this one that says computer. And let's see if we can have a listen to what Abby has to say.
In 2012 alone, the U.S. spent more than $50 billion in anti-drug efforts and arrested more than 1.5 million people for nonviolent drug charges. Yet the U.S. continues to rank among the top five countries when it comes to per capita recreational drug use, according to the UN. These stats have led to a complete shift in perception when it comes to one of the most popular recreational drugs in the world, marijuana. In fact, last year, for the first time ever, a majority of Americans favored legalizing the drug after Washington and Colorado became the first states to do so. But according to a recent investigative report by Lee Fong at The Nation, that reality may still be a long way off thanks to Big Pharma's contribution to anti-legalization efforts. To help me break down the report, I'm joined now by RT political commentator Sam Sachs.
Hello.
What's up, Sam?
What's up?
So start by going over what companies and organizations are actually behind this anti-legalization effort in the U.S.
Sure. Well, this is pretty interesting. As you said, you mentioned those polls are moving toward legalization. You're seeing more and more laws introduced that that either legalize marijuana or decriminalize marijuana or legalize medicinal marijuana. And you would expect the opposition to come from maybe moral groups or healthcare groups that have the same sort of problems, maybe with smoking or drinking alcohol or something like that. But instead, you see the opposition coming from companies that want to protect their bottom lines and protect profits, basically protect markets that they have a stranglehold on right now. So you see, as you mentioned, pharmaceutical companies coming out and funding, and this is thanks, as you mentioned, reporting by Lee Fong, funding organizations like Partnership for Drug-Free Kids, the Community Anti-Drug Coalition of America, and Project Sam, which was a group started by Congressman Patrick Kennedy, who got busted on painkillers, wrecking his car, and decided that marijuana was the ultimate evil drug in America. What you see are pharmaceutical companies funneling money into these organizations to advocate against marijuana legalization laws. You also see the prison industrial complex companies related to that, like private prison companies, police unions. And you see beer and tobacco companies coming out and funneling money into campaigns to stop ballot initiatives that would legalize or decriminalize marijuana.
It just seems completely immoral for, like, the Organization for Drug-Free Kids is accepting money from giant pharmaceutical companies that are peddling pills.
Yeah, it does. And you don't see these same organizations putting the same effort into getting people hooked or getting people their addictions to addressing the addictions people have toward Vicodin or certain opioids or painkillers. And that's really what's behind these pharmaceutical companies funding these organizations. Is there are tens of thousands of people right now who take painkillers, and it's known that marijuana can replace painkillers with less side effects and not kill 16,000 people a year like these painkillers do.
Yeah, good point. It's just really disturbing. And you mentioned really quickly police unions. Why in the hell are police unions involved in this?
Well, a lot of police, they get funded through community grants, usually through federal grants that require them to bust people who are smoking pot. So a lot of their income comes from arresting people on marijuana. Same thing with prison guards. Look, a lot of people, hundreds of thousands of people get arrested every year for marijuana-related charges. That equates to jobs in the prison industrial complex. That equates to people needing to guard all these prisoners. And we hear each month about these contracts that private prison companies make with state governments where they have to fill up 90% of their prisons with criminals to make a profit there. Well, if you can keep pot illegal, you can get a huge supply of criminals that way.
The prison guards I get more than the cops. You would think that the cops would be like, great, we don't have to like arrest people for low-level drug charges now.
Well, I think if you look at what individual police officers are saying on this issue versus what kind of the entrenched police interest groups are saying, there's a disconnect there. But, you know, unfortunately, we have a system that's profitized so many things, from law enforcement to incarceration to healthcare. And those industries are stepping up and kind of, you know, picking their sides in this debate over marijuana legalization.
And it's also these groups that are keeping marijuana classified as a Schedule I drug, which is actually comparable to heroin, crack cocaine. Really, really bizarre. I don't understand.
How are they
keeping that there when two states have legalized it already?
Right. This is the DEA that still keeps marijuana scheduled as a Class I drug alongside all these very terrible drugs that you mentioned right there, which is completely bizarre, but it's kind of what you would expect from the political and economic class of America right now. If you remember this weekend, I'm not sure if you remember, if you watched Meet the Press, I probably didn't learn much, but they had a whole segment this weekend on marijuana legalization, and they had four panelists, you know, columnists, people who are respected in media and in political fields, and not once did they bring up the drug war as a reason to address marijuana. The failure of the drug war, the way that it's carried out on racist lines, that wasn't brought up once, but instead you had canards like marijuana raises or decreases your IQ by 6 points, or it's something, it's a habit that people just grow out of, so we shouldn't legalize it. It's just, it seems like policymakers don't understand
the
debate, right?
No, they don't understand it, and they're all taking painkillers. You know, you hear like Rush Limbaugh, it's just ridiculous. What has happened? You're talking about legalization and decriminalization efforts. I mean, talk about a case study. Let's talk about Colorado really quickly. We have about a minute left. But what has happened there in terms of jobs?
Complete chaos. It's complete chaos. It's just like the movie Reefer Madness, where people are just running around, jumping out of windows and stuff. No, you know, we haven't had much time to really study the subject yet, but you've had 10,000 jobs created in Colorado since they legalized marijuana in that field. You've had $10 million in revenue coming in, and you've had crime go down about 10% in Denver. Again, it's early to tell what's happening, but not the sort of chaos people were predicting would happen if you legalized the drug.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Sam Sachs, breaking it down, as always.
All right, so that's Abby Martin on her show, Breaking the Set, which you can see on RT, Russia Today. Those are some good terms if you want to do a Google search on that. She does pretty interesting work. She's pretty hard-hitting, and she's smart and savvy, and she seems to have a lot of journalistic freedom from the RT production crew. I've even heard her do some critical stories of Russia. For example, you know, recently in the last, year, 6 months or so, there's been a lot of flack going back and forth about the Ukraine. Ukraine was a former state in the Soviet Union. When the Soviet Union collapsed in the early 90s, it became independent along with a whole host of other, subsidiary states of the former Soviet Union. And then recently, with the expansion of NATO, some people in the Ukraine were not happy with the sort of financial and natural resource relationship they had with the Russians. And they wanted to move towards a rapprochement with NATO and Western Europe. So, you know, these things get all kind of complicated and difficult to follow, especially when if you're listening to specific news sources that don't give you full and balanced coverage, which is most everybody, you only really get part of the story. So in a lot of the U.S. national or corporate media, you'll hear all about how terrible the Russians are. And, you know, the Russians are no saints. But NATO and the U.S. are no gods either. So there's often two sides to the story. And I'll tell you where I come down on stuff like that. War is terrible. If you're fighting a war, you've made a series of tragic blunders, because you really can only get into a war if you had a series of fantastically bad moves and bad mistakes. You can really only have a war if you have failure. Failure is what is war, and no matter win, lose, or draw, there's always all kinds of dead people in a war. Terrible, terrible, terrible. And that's not how we do things here on Kauai. It's so blessed. It's so lovely. You want to call and talk about your experiences here, wars that you have not been in, discussions that you've amicably resolved with your neighbors, give us a call at 826-7771. We're standing by and ready to take your call. We'll be right back. Yeah, carbon monoxide is not actually a very good thing to breathe. So you got to be careful the things you choose to surround yourself with. You got to be careful the news sources you choose to use to learn about the rest of the world. You got to make good choices out there, and it's not always easy to do. But if you persevere, if you quiet your mind, if you talk to those who have given you good advice in the past, you probably make some good decisions. So 826-7771 is the number today in the studio. Dave is off island, so I am filling in solo, and it's kind of exciting and interesting to do this without much of a game plan. I guess you have to be sort of brave or maybe a little foolish, but we're going to persevere. We're going to move ahead, and we're going to listen to a lot of music today, because I'll just play nice music whenever nobody is calling in. So I don't think that anyone will suffer too much from that. Let's see what we've got now. And here we are. Okay, we've got a caller called in at 826-7771 with a comment about war. We're going to go live to them right now. Aloha, caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, right. I've not too much to say, but it's definitely a huge topic. But I just wanted to bring up my favorite bumper sticker. Who would Jesus bomb?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I'm not a Christian, but I love the exemplary life of Christ, and I really believe in him, and he's like one of my total idol heroes. I mean, and just to point out that it's just such a hypocrisy that any nation can call it a Christian nation and promote any war. I mean, I just challenge any Christian to justify from his heart, in light of Christ's teachings, any war. It just can't be done.
Yeah, well, I've seen that sticker before, WWJB. Who would Jesus bomb? And, you know, for a couple of reasons, he probably would never bomb anyone. One is I don't think Jesus had an Air Force, so it would be really difficult for him to, you know, launch strategic airstrikes on anyone because, you know, they weren't flying back then. But then, of course, the deeper point that I think you're getting to is that the central message of Jesus was love and compassion, and bombing was really never part of the picture there. So I think you raise a good point.
And you know, that goal that progresses from, you know, love our family, love our friends, love our neighbors, to then progress it to love our enemy. It's easy to love our family, right, and our friends. But
well, not always. I mean, it depends who your friends and family are.
Some of our families, yes, that's true.
Yeah.
But
my dad's listening. That's why I had to say that.
The progression may seem, you know, unrealistic, but when you really ponder it, it's the only way to go.
Well, it's a goal, right?
It is.
Yeah, it's something that we should strive for. But I think it's interesting when you talk about issuing a challenge to Christian nations, you know, because many nations in the world don't have Christianity as their, you know, fundamental social ethos, and yet they've been able to act in an ethical fashion for hundreds or thousands of years, by and large. You know, Islam today in the world, people have sort of strange feelings about that because there were some criminals who conducted criminal activity in what they said was the name of Islam. But certainly every religion, Christianity included, has had people who have done very bad things in the name of that religion.
Yes, and I love the quote also. I mean, the Lenny Bruce, actually, but every day more and more good people are strengthening the church and going back to God. And I do know Christians that actually walk their talk, and that they do totally embrace the teachings of Jesus, and they wouldn't bomb anyone. I'm just saying, to call yourself a Christian and then promote war as we, the Christian nation of the United States, does, that is hypocrisy.
Well, it's also not founded by the Constitution. I'm pretty sure that the United States is not a Christian nation per se. I think it was founded with the principles of religious freedom and tolerance for all faiths. So, yeah, I actually am a little uncomfortable when people refer to the U.S. as a Christian nation because not everybody here is Christian. In fact, not even Jesus was Christian.
Jesus would have been abhorred at that use. In fact, I certainly personally believe that most people calling themselves Christians are actually taking the name of the Lord in vain just by that simple act, considering their behavior.
Well, most everyone that I've ever met in the world is a basically good and decent human being, and I don't really know how it is that all these, like, maniacs and warmongers end up in positions of power, because realistically they have to represent a very, very minuscule percentage of the entire population. So that's always been kind of a mystery to me.
They probably actually don't embrace any major spiritual belief. That's just a cover-up, and the good people are still embracing their spirituality and not going to war because of it. So I'm not putting down any religion. They're all good. And at the basis of them, you follow them back far enough, they're all based on pretty much similar principles. You know, there's not a whole lot of conflict in the basic ideologies of most of the world's major spiritual practices. It's just when man gets a hold of it and, you know, bends it to his own needs, desires, and whims that just becomes off. There's no such thing as a bad religion. We need all different kinds of medicines. But the things that we do in the name of religion, you know, and that's a behavior, and I'm not against any being, but the behaviors of the beings occasionally disturb me, including my own.
Well, that's that's good of you to notice that.
Thanks for the show and giving people a place to talk. Aloha.
Aloha. Well, you know, these airwaves belong to you, the listener, to you, the community. This is a community radio station. We don't do this to make money. We do this to provide a means of communication so that you can have access to the airwaves in your community. And most of the time we play music. We have folks who volunteer and come into the station and share with you the music that they're passionate about. But several times a week, this show being one of them, we have opportunities for you to call in, call back, and speak back and use the communication platform that are the community airwaves to speak to the community. And we've got another person standing by right now. We're going to go live to you. Aloha, caller. Thanks for standing by. Welcome to Out of the Box. You're on the air.
So can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear. Can you hear me?
Okay. I just am referring to a... Since we're talking about war and peace, I'm referring to a front page headline in the Garden Island today about reinstated, which means that a group that's associated with, you know, viewpoints.
This is the reinstated Hawaiian nation, yeah?
No. This is about, let me see, about the Hawaii Peace and Justice, of which the Kauai Alliance for Peace and Justice is associated with. For the last 5 years, we've been having a table against militarism and war.
Okay.
You know, and at a college fair, at the annual college fair that the public schools and the schools put on, and we were banned this year. And so what happened is that...
What was the reason given for that?
We don't fall into the philosophy of the new philosophy of the college fair, which is to provide educational opportunities and alternatives for kids to go into, for young people to get into, which is what we do.
Hmm.
We offer peaceful alternatives that they can get into instead of joining the war machine.
So I don't understand how you guys don't fit the criteria.
Exactly it. So we talked to individuals here on Kauai, Bryson Noritsugo. We explained our position, how we do, and he had a change of heart, and other people on the Big Island and Oahu did the same, so we're back on there again. That's why Christy Angela wrote that article about reinstated.
Ah, I understand now. Okay.
The Peace Choice is reinstated again in the college fair, so that our young people will have a chance of not picking the military and listening to the various lies and misinformation that they give. We believe that you don't have to kill people or destroy the earth to have a productive job or have a productive future, that there are other alternatives that young people can get into. And especially right now with war beefing up again in the Middle East, You know, the United States is talking about invading Syria. We got more troops back again in Iraq. The United States picking up its military presence in the Pacific. We think it's more important than ever before to bring information out there that the young folks have other alternatives that they can choose. And Kip Goodwin and Sharon Goodwin really spearheaded the effort to get our program back in the fair again. And so what happened, there's a number of other people on the Big Island and on Oahu and on Maui. We've been working on this issue for many years. People in the Big Island, peace activists on the Big Island and Oahu have been doing it for over 10 years, offering counter information to the young people so that they don't have to pick the military as a means of getting money to go to school, as a means of employment. And
you should be able to have gainful employment doing all kinds of things that will benefit the local community besides, you know, putting on a uniform and going to the other side of the world and shooting at people.
That's right, or occupying their country. So some people thought it was about Kanaka government being reinstated. It would be good if it was, you know, but that's the headline that Chris D'Angelo, I guess, in the paper picked. You know, so when I seen the paper myself, I thought it was about that.
Well, that's what I thought, sure.
Yeah. But what he was talking about was that our group has been reinstated to be part of the college fair again. You know, and but it just shows you, too, how reinstated and the sovereignty movement has gotten to the public as well. You know, how, you know, the word reinstated is getting out there, and thanks to Kanipa and their group for doing that, and the other sovereignists, you know. But this is about, you know, reinstating the peace alternative, you know, the anti-war alternative. So we're not so much going to come out and be anti-military, but, you know, we are, you know, kids join the military to join, you know.
Well, you know, I think there's perfectly good reasons to have a military, you know, to keep other countries from invading your country, for example.
Uh-huh.
But, and I'm sure I'm not the first person who's observed this, but in the U.S., things are way, way, way out of whack, way out of balance.
That's right.
You know, at almost $1 trillion a year in terms of total military and intelligence expenditures, the U.S. is spending as much money almost as the rest of the entire world.
Which
makes sense if we were at war with the rest of the entire world. But since we're not, you got to say to yourself, wow, this just seems like it's a little out of whack.
It's building a lot of anger and resentment all over the world, in particular the Middle East. I mean, you had that unfortunate incident with some sailors being attacked by demonstrators, you know, bags being put on their heads,
mm-hmm.
rocks being thrown at them.
Not good.
That's not good stuff. But there are many people that are really angry with what the United States has done to the Palestinians and what's going on in the Middle East, what's going on in Iraq, especially in the Near East and in the Middle East and Central Asia. Those are the hot spots, huh? You know, and that's where the United States wants to send its troops or has its troops. You know, we've got 1,000 bases around the world. So, you know, that's why they want to recruit young people that are idealistic. And they promise.
Sure, they want to do something worthwhile. They want to help their neighbors.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with the idea of wanting to be of service and to help help defend. Those are great things. But the fact of the matter is that the U.S. military budget could be cut by 80% or 90%, and we would still have the most powerful military defense on the planet. Mm-hmm. So things are out of whack.
That's a good point that you make because. You know, I'm a unionist, and I believe that, you know, real strongly that the money in the United States, I think the rich should be taxed heavier, and I think we should cut the military budget, and I think we should spread this wealth around to the people, you know, make people's lives better, social needs, create jobs. You know,
well, there's all kinds of things that need to get done. And, you know, soldiering, being a soldier is certainly part of a long and honorable tradition. But we also need artists and engineers and teachers and doctors.
The point I was going to make was that our unions got to get off the stick and start speaking out against war instead of supporting the war machine. This is the point that I'm trying to make. You know? Instead of the unions coming out and supporting the president's war initiatives, especially public worker unions should come out and speak out against this, because this is the big white elephant in the room. If all those monies and all those funds could be helped to alleviate the problems that we got in this country, that would be even better, like you're talking about.
Yeah, bring better balance back. The problem that we're stuck with right now is because the U.S. Economy is built on a war foundation. So
exactly it.
So, you know, unions want to have jobs, and if the jobs are in the military sector, then they may feel that they have to support, the war machine in order to have a job. But it's a losing battle.
That's short-sighted. We have to shift gears and we have to change the paradigm. And that's what I'm talking about, you know. So the thing is, I just wanted to bring that thing up. And I know some of your listeners have read the paper. And check it out and read the article. And we'll be over at the college fair coming Monday, the 17th. We'll be there when it starts and when it finishes. And we're also going to have a presence on the Big Island and on Oahu and Maui at their college fairs as well. So
tell us again when the KCC college fair is coming up, where you guys will be there.
Well, this is not KCC. It's going to be at the Kauai Marriott Hotel.
Oh, okay.
The college fair is coming the 17th on Monday. And I believe in the paper it said right here it's going to be starting in the morning sometime, like from about 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock till about noon. And then a few hours later, then it opens back up again. So what it does is catches students in the morning and it catches students in the afternoon and evening. And in the evening, their parents can come with them. The parents can drive them over. That's how it's usually been. Or the young people who drive come themselves. But there are two slots for people to come to. And it's really a very interesting thing. It's very important. Hundreds of young people from all the public schools here on Kauai, you know, the middle schools and the high schools, including the private schools, and some college students from KCC, they come and they view the exhibits and talk to college recruiters. You know, there's a lot of alternatives out there for these students to choose from, you know. So and we encourage them to take a look at those, you know.
All right, well, thanks very much for bringing that to our attention.
And I thank you for talking about war and militarism. It's important for us to keep our minds on this issue and raise our concerns about it and not just let it go about and let these guys, the rich people in the country, do what they want, you know.
Well, and it's not even just, quote, the rich people, because lots of people are wealthy in spirit as well as in their bank account, and they do all kinds of good things and support good things and, have similar values to you and me.
Yeah, well, we're talking about the capitalist class that controls the corporations and controls the economy. That's what I meant to say, you know. And they're gearing us towards more war and continued war, which you know and you guys talk about all the time. So thank you for giving me this opportunity, and, and then we'll catch you around later, Jonathan.
All right. Thanks so much, caller.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Aloha. And we got another caller standing by. Are you still there, caller? Thank you for waiting.
Yes, I am.
Welcome to Out of the Box.
Thanks. I just wanted to make a couple comments on war. I agree with the previous caller that it's nice that you're actually having a conversation about, you know, cutting defense spending.
Just by a little bit. Just by, you know, like 80 or 90% cuts.
Well, I think that, one of the things is he mentioned that, you know, that we are, I think, getting conditioned to where we just accept war as one of our businesses that we have as a country. I think we're desensitized to it, and I think that that's part of the challenge, is that, you know, a while back there was a big issue about if you could show coffins that were take a photograph of the coffins coming home with the servicemen, and they got approval to do that. Then somebody published a photo, and there was huge outcry. People did not want to see that.
Well, you know, I guess I can understand on the one hand, you know, people wanting to have the privacy of their grief, but these aren't actions that happen in some kind of vacuum. These are as a result of social policy. And if you don't like part of what is necessitated by the social policy, you can't just pretend that that's not happening. That's real. So, you know, if it's the case that you know, millions of Americans wouldn't support a policy if they truly understood that thousands of Americans were coming home in body bags because of that. Well, then guess what? Maybe we shouldn't have that policy.
Well, see, yeah, I agree. That's the point, is that you get, when I was a kid, the Vietnam War was going on. And I remember on the news, you always saw the Vietnam War was on TV. And when Nixon was elected, it was because he was going to stop the war.
Yeah, he had a secret plan.
And that was a big issue, that he got elected on, was that he was going to stop the war. But the war wasn't even an issue in the last presidential election, or even in the election that we just had. It just doesn't come up.
Well, no, it's so, because both major parties wholeheartedly support it.
Exactly, and that's my point, is that you have to get back into the actual feelings and emotions and show, if you travel and you go to Spain or you go to France or you go to Australia, you will see war on the news. They look at us, they don't speak of us as kindly. If you hear of another country, if you're in another country and you watch the news and you hear the way they speak of America, you'll be taken aback, because you'll have never heard anything like that in the U.S. media. So what I'm saying is that if you did show the coffins coming home, if you did show the atrocities of war that we're inflicting on others and that they're inflicting on us, and it was actually part of people's consciousness where people said, wait a minute, this is going on, I don't agree with this, what can I do to oppose this? The challenge is that it's just not even in America's conscious anymore. It's just something that everyone's conditioned to accept, that, oh yeah, we have a couple wars going on, and it's just something that happens with us. There's nobody that's saying, hey, we need to stop this.
Well, I think a lot of people actually do think that those things should stop. I know that back in, what was it, 2000 or so, when the Bush-Cheney regime was gearing up for this whole, you know, round of wars that we're still enmeshed in, there were literally millions of people in the streets all across the country and around the world. But that didn't seem to have any impact on the policy.
Well, yeah, but no, you know, that's a good point. I don't even know what to say to that. But I don't even have cable boxes anymore, because I just get tired of watching a lot of the stuff that comes out with the commercials. But I got to ask, the last time you watched the news, other than like a world news, was there any conversation about either of the wars, other than do we build it up or take it back, or how, foolish is our leader the way he's handling it? That's all I seem to hear about.
The last time I watched the news, which is pretty infrequent, because I find the more I watch, the less I know. And the more garbage that is being poured into my head, the less able I am to think critically about what I already do know. I heard people chattering about how airstrikes in Syria were never going to get the job done. It was going to be a long campaign. And if they were serious about it, they really ought to get boots on the ground, something like that. But, you know, that's all just garbage. It's all just, like, pure garbage.
Yeah, I think you could pretty much go back over the last couple of years and just change the subject, and there'd be the same talking points.
Right. Well, some people, those chicken hawks on TV, or those military commentators, or people who were former generals or whatever, I mean, they've never seen a war they couldn't love. But I think to the point that you made earlier about Vietnam, a lot of people all over the country recognized what was happening, because the Vietnam War, as you said, was literally on TV. And they didn't have journalists who were embedded with the military and had their reports subject to military screening and censorship and stuff, so that the military could give their version of the story they wanted to, like what we've had in the last 20 years. A lot of people said, oh, Vietnam, never again, never again. But I think the military planners and the lessons that they learned from the Vietnam War was never again let the true face of war be shown to Americans, because anybody who sees that stuff will not support it. Wars are terrible.
I agree, and that really is my point, is that I think, and it's just an opinion, and we know what people say about those,
But
yeah, they say that everyone is entitled to their own opinion.
Okay, that's funny and nice to share. But you know, just saying that if it was out there, if it was in America's, you know, consciousness to where it was something that you were forced to address, I think it wouldn't, so much wouldn't get just swept under the rug, and people wouldn't just be conditioned to accept. I mean, you have kids that are, you know, college age kids right now that since they were before they were teenagers, their country's been at war and will probably be at war until they're, you know, out earning a living. A lot of people are making career decisions based on war as a job option.
Sure. Well, you know, and looking at the way the U.S. conducts itself in the world, that's not a poor assessment. I mean, you pretty much can count on the U.S. to be at war with at least several somebodies for quite some time. I mean, you know, it's not just Iraq or Afghanistan. It's also Pakistan and Somalia and Yemen and Syria. And the Joint Strategic Command operation, the U.S. Special Forces and stuff, they have significant military actions right now in over 134 different countries around the world. So, you know, if you were a betting man, I think it's a pretty safe bet that to bet on a war economy for the U.S. for quite some time. I mean, the U.S. is not making refrigerators and microwaves anymore.
No, and I think that is kind of the punchline for the rest of the world, is they're going to watch us, you know, continue to deplete our resources. You know, our strength is our money, and as a government, we really don't have much, if any. So, you know, they're watching us dig ourselves into a hole, and at some point, we'll have to pay the piper, and it's not going to be pretty because we're not taking the small steps now.
I think that's really well said, caller.
Well, that was all I really had to share.
All right, well, thank you for calling in. We have another caller standing by, but we're going to go to the top of the hour station business and take care of a couple underwriters. I want to thank you, the listeners who support KKCR. We had a recent pledge drive, membership drive, and thank you so much for the folks who did contribute, as well as fine underwriters just like these. Second, let me go like that. We'll come back again and go.
Lou Norman and the Hawaii Life Brokerage Ohana proudly supports GMO Free Kauai, agricultural biodiversity, and sustainable farming practices such as community gardens, food forests, seed saving, and beekeeping. Malama aina.
Announcing the return of the Tahiti Nui's Hanalei Luau, featuring 50 years of songs and dances as a tribute to their mama, Auntie Louise. Tahiti Nui, providing live Hawaiian music on Kauai since 1963. This family-style luau is every Wednesday, 5 to 7:30. More information at 826-6277 or online at thenui.com.
The Board of Directors of the Kekau Foundation, license holder for KKCR Kauai Community Radio, will hold its quarterly business meeting on Monday, November 17th, 6 p.m. All interested parties are welcome to attend. For more information, please call Steve at 652-3706.
And thank you guys for that. I should also say, I think I neglected to do this earlier in the hour, but this is an opinion show. This is an editorial show, and the views and opinions of those that are presented by myself or callers onto the show are those of the speaker alone and do not represent the board, staff, underwriters, or volunteers of KKCR. So I just want to make sure that that's clear. Everyone here is free to speak of their own will, speak from their own heart, and don't have to worry that someone will think that your views represent someone else who's not speaking right now. So we got another caller on the air. Thanks for standing by. And aloha, caller. Welcome to Out of the Box.
Aloha. I was calling about something I learned during the last membership drive, and that there are people offering rappelling adventures for Hawaiian waterfalls.
Okay.
And I just wanted to, since I was educated, I'd like to share something that maybe those folks aren't educated about, is that Hawaiian waterfalls are called habitat. And they're habitat for, I don't know how to say it, I guess a rapidly decreasing group of native Hawaiian animals.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of a really funky way of defining ecotourism.
In what way?
Well, I think it's ego-tourism.
Ego, E-G-O?
E-G-O.
Okay.
In that it's for building somebody's ego that, I rappelled down a waterfall. When, most people on island couldn't tell me the animals that they're walking on.
Sure. I think that's a good point. I know there's lots of water quality issues in terms of the runoff from the septic systems and the streets and roads that get into our natural and fresh waterways. That's an issue. People crawling around and clambering on sensitive ecosystems, that's an issue. It's really tricky as a human being to be in a place and live in a place and appreciate that place without killing that place. I don't know that we're doing a very good job in that regard.
I don't think it's tricky.
Well,
I don't think it's hard. I think you just have to be observant and mindful. That's not tricky.
I think it's easy to say, but I know that, just speaking personally, I'm only episodically present. You know, I like pay attention a little bit. I'm occasionally aware of what I'm doing. I know that doesn't happen 24 hours a day. I do try, but I make all kinds of mistakes. I act without thinking routinely. I'm not proud of that. That's just part of the human condition, I think.
We all make mistakes. Yeah, of course, that's human condition. But, we have such a... the islands are so small and so limited that there's a frustration level of there's plenty of folks that we've been trying to share this with people. Like me, I've been in this line of work for 30 years here in the islands, and that we have such an influx of folks that choose to act before they observe when in these sensitive areas. And I'm not making this call to stroke my ego, and people always question, well, what do I do? Well, I'll tell you what I do if you give me the time.
Sure.
Okay. In 1987, the State Department of Health released two papers on the state of Hawaiian waters, fresh waters. One was an application with the EPA to gain funds to actually study our streams. The other paper was an even larger, it was a book, pamphlet, glossy, full color production of, I don't have it anymore. I used to have it. I think it was 40 or 60 pages of how great the stream waters and what a great resource it could be.
Sure, if we could somehow take much better care of it.
Yeah, but see, the funds, the millions of dollars that they got from the EPA was never applied to the research, yet the tourism and the folks that run these, their what they call ecotourism things in these freshwater environments got funding. They gave the funding that was supposed to be for the research to establish the baselines. The governor has discretion over those funds, and the governor at that time gave the funds to the tourism board.
Hmm. Well, you know,
so,
it's, oh, go ahead.
So, in 97, you might know of Stacy Sproul, but her sister,
Kapua
represented a small group of us, to then, you know, we prevailed. I'm not going to say we won, but we, because the studies still aren't done. And so, but we prevailed in Ninth Circuit Court against the EPA that research actually start occurring.
Well, it seems like it's essential to get baseline data so you can track what the impact is over time.
Yeah, but the degradation started, you know, over 100 years ago.
Sure.
So it's not a baseline.
Gotcha.
You know, baseline is a long time ago.
Right. Baseline is like 1777.
Well, no, baseline is probably, you know, around the year zero or when the Hawaiian population started, the Polynesian population began its increase. Yeah.
Okay.
And so...
First major human impact onto the environment here in the islands. Okay.
That would be baseline, yeah. But so when people use that term baseline, it's kind of deceptive. So, but yet, what I'm talking about is this habitat that it's just like, you know, sometimes there I see these attempts at education of people, you know, to urge people not to walk on the reefs.
Sure.
You know, not to wear too much sunscreen.
Right, don't slather up before you jump into the water.
Yeah, because all those things affect the reef ecosystem. But the waterfall ecosystem is tiny compared to the reef ecosystem. So a little bit of degradation is much more catastrophic to that resource.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, it's funny. I hear people talk about the challenges of balancing the environment versus the economy, and I just have to laugh every time I hear that because our economy here on Kauai is the environment. I mean, people don't come here because it's like Nebraska or Iowa. They come here because this is a unique environmental place on the planet. So if we don't take care of the environment, we won't have an economy here.
It's not that different an ecosystem from other tropical places on the planet. You know, I'm sorry to disagree with you. It's very similar to other places. It really is, but the actual, some of the actual animals or plants may be different, but it's very much the same. And so we need to combine because when the Polynesians came here, they were Polynesians, and something over time made them Hawaiians, made us Hawaiians. So, I didn't want to go to that side, yeah, but culturally these animals are significant too.
Sure.
And it's the culture of Hawaii that brings people here. You can go to tropics anywhere. You can go see heliconias anywhere. You know, people have these big, oh, heliconias, oh, you know, it's like they're not even from here. They're from another tropical place that's beautiful, that's unique. And I get to listen to the volunteers, which I appreciate the volunteers in there. I've been in the station, and I appreciate the volunteers, but they're all jazzed about, oh, yeah, I want to go rappel down a waterfall. You know, and it's like, I have very little chance to come on the air to try to share, you know, the educational side Because, I mean, this is probably most likely occurring on private property, other than I've been on doing research on the Kauai Electric lands and had people tell us, oh, you can't drive a vehicle on this. This is only a footpath. I was like, I'm working for the company that owns this land, and they're the ones trespassing on foot, you know, to ride in flumes or go in flumes and stuff. And, you know, it's frustrating, you know, to be a member and to have that brought forth on the radio. I heard it, you know, more than once, and I only get to make my call in, and I'm talking too long already.
Well, but you're bringing up some points that aren't typically made, and so I really appreciate you calling in and sharing your perspective on that. It seems like you have a sensitivity and awareness to some issues that a lot of people just kind of gloss over or are not so familiar with, so I thank you very much for doing that.
But can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Do you know any of those species that live on the waterfall face?
I know there's some tumbling shrimp, but I think they live at the bottom of the waterfall. Freshwater.
No, they do. They live on the, they climb the waterfalls. They live in the waterfalls. It's like, everybody is familiar, I think, with, you know, Brother Iz's version of the song Iilave. It's 1,100-foot waterfall. And the shrimp climb the waterfall and live at the top.
Hmm.
The fish that live up there climb the waterfall because they spend the larval part of their life cycle in the ocean, but the adults live 1,100 feet up the waterfall in the stream.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's not amazing. It's life.
That's what's amazing about it.
The planet we live on.
Yeah.
The whole planet is amazing. Every ecosystem is amazing. This is a small ecosystem. It's a small habitat. And it's, you know, it just can't survive being trampled like that. And anyway, so I hear other people, getting there. I didn't hear my wave rider thing that when I sent in. So that is my ego coming out right now. I didn't hear my wave rider thing once.
Well, I appreciate you calling in now and taking some time to explain and share some of the things that you see and understand as being important, and making an effort to educate the rest of us who don't have the benefit of your, I guess I'll just call it wisdom.
I don't know if I call it wisdom either.
Well, that's because you're so wise. Now, thank you so much. We've got another caller standing by.
All right, okay.
Ahuiho. Aloha, caller. Thank you for standing by. Are you with us here on Out of the Box?
This is Billy Acosta. Am I the caller standing by?
You are, Billy. Welcome to KKCR's call-in show. I wanted to invite you to call into the show specifically because you ran for county council. I think it's your second time you ran, and you got several thousands of votes. What, 6,000-7,000 votes?
I think it was 7,000 something, and maybe 1,000 shy of 980 shy of making the 7 feet of it.
Yeah. So in our winner take all style of democracy here, even though you represent the interests of over 7,000 people on the island, you're going to have zero say at the county council because you're not elected. So here at Out of the Box, we don't think that winner takes all is necessarily the best kind of democracy that we can have, and we're always trying to figure out ways to be a little bit more Akamai. I wanted to have you call in and talk about some of the things you learned on the campaign trail, things that were maybe surprising to you that you didn't know.
You know, enough time on this radio station for me to let you know what I had learned and what I want the council to concentrate on. But I can tell you one major part that I had learned.
Okay.
I learned that it's a popularity contest, so I would say.
Uh-huh.
And it's who has the most money to run the advertising campaign and look the most visible. And I ran an under $1,000 campaign.
Less than $1,000.
I didn't even have to fill out a campaign spending report until January 1st. And that was an apology letter that came in to Garden Island because they misprinted saying that I didn't fill out my spending report. When you don't spend any money on a campaign, you don't have to fill out a campaign spending report. I didn't take a dollar from anybody. Even my campaign party that night, election party, was a potluck. How's that one? So I want to say thank you to all my friends, family, voters out there supporting me. And I want to tell the non-voters that support me but didn't register to vote to go out and register, because you are the reason why I didn't get elected. I truly believe that if all those, I would have to say 20 to 35-year-olds that are not registered to vote, that have had a chance to be my student while I was teaching at Wyoming High School, or they would easily put me into office. So I'm thinking that maybe one day I might do this again, because there's enough energy left inside of me. Because I wear my emotions on a sleeve, Jonathan. Mr. Because I don't hide anything. I come out with issues. I answer questions to the T. I think I'm going to sound overconfident and cocky now to say that out of 14 candidates, I could debate anyone on the spot. And I have shown the community at the forums that I'm by far the best speaker with issues that pertain to our cultural way of life here. And I've answered the questions to the public's opinion and the public's view, and some of them liked what I had to say and some of them didn't, but at least they knew who Billy DeCosta was. No hidden secrets, Jonathan. How's that?
Oh, no, I think that's pretty fair to say. I think it's also fair to say that you rhyme a lot better than all the other 13 candidates that I heard speak. You mentioned debating. I would love to have heard some debating at all the different political forums I heard, and whether they were in Kapa'a or Waimea or Lihue or wherever. I didn't hear any debates between the county council members. I think that was something quite lacking in the discussion running up to the elections. What do you think about that?
I think debates create animosity and chaos, and you bring out skeletons from people's closets. I was kind of impressed with the way they ran this little campaign. It was very friendly and nice. And there was a few times that I endorsed a few candidates. I think maybe one or two candidates might have thrown my name out there a few times. But it kind of saddens me a little bit to see our community, you know, one side is east to west, and the other side is east to north, and we got to stop that. This is not elementary or grade school. You know, we got to kind of come together as a community and make the best decisions for what's going on. You know, and I give a lot of kudos to Madeline Ross, who voted the tax cap to put it back on, to vote the taxes down. I mean, the local people are getting taxed off their own land.
Yeah, that seems true.
At the same time, there's a lot of kudos to other candidates who look at health issues for Kauai. And so, I mean, there's a lot of good people on the council. I hope they can work together. But I learned that I think Kauai missed out on a good, honest man there being put on the council. That's me. You know, but I'll go back to my job being the environmental state educator here on the island. And I already started the process of making more leaders here on the island. I had Koloa School up in Koke last night, and this evening I'm down a mountain now. But I left them with an impressionable view when we hiked the Waipo Falls and got to see the waterfall, and we got to see some aquatic life in the stream there, you know, maybe some opai and some, I believe, crayfish, but they're not native to the island. But it was just nice.
Some aren't.
Yeah. There were some community members, and I told them that the only way we're going to fix our problems on Kauai, the only way, and I truly believe this, and this is my version of sustainability, and I said this once before, and I got ridiculed because I didn't mention planting apples and strawberries and having a cattle feedlot. I mean, those are all great, sustainable agro-business ideas. But my big thing is to have our local kids, whether the skin is white, brown, black, or yellow, go away to college, get educated, come back, and be the important positions like the mayor, like the county council, like the Department of Ag. Just run it. And when everybody has a view that they want to take care of land and take care of the aina and perpetuate the culture that we have, then we can move in the same direction. You know, in Kamehameha schools have it going on right now, and we need to bring some of that mindset to our public school and have our kids perpetuate, because they want to take ownership back on this island and take care of it and malama it. And, you know. So that's what I do up in Koki. I teach kids from Hanalei to Kikaha. I deal with about 1,200 kids a year. Most teachers get to see 500 kids in 30 years of teaching. I get to see 1,200 a year. So I've seen over 5,000 kids in the last 5 years, got to meet their parents. I like to think that I've earned their respect. And I think it's only time before the momentum shifts when these kids get to voting age or ability cost. I might eventually be a mayor one day, buddy.
Yeah, well, it's tricky. I think that you highlight a serious issue on the island, and that is kind of like a cultural and a brain drain, is that the way the economy is structured here, there's not lots and lots of jobs for kids to get college educated, to grow up, get college educated, and come back to and raise a family. So, you know, that's something that we need to work on as a community, because we're losing you know, families left and right if they can't afford to stay here sometimes. And, you know, the kids who grow up here, maybe they would like to come back and raise a family here too, but the job base just doesn't exist for them. So,
and the cost of living too, Jonathan, you know, the cost of living, it's all right to make, you know, 15, 16 bucks an hour. If your mortgage is 800, you can't have a mortgage that's 3,000 and you're making 16, 17 bucks an hour.
Right. Well, and then also you have the way the housing market is set up here, where we have houses with no people in them, and people with no houses. So the market forces are not building to suit our community's needs. So we got to make some changes there. What are some of the things that you would like to see the county council focus on in the next 2 years?
Come to my environmental program, ASCP, overnight. Let me do a team bonding activity with them, put some pajamas on and bond, grow some marshmallows and get along. That's the number one thing I said. And I provide this service if you want to come. It's $5 a night. They can come up there with me, and they can learn some positive reinforcement to the island's issues and learn how to bond, because we do it with kids, bullies. Kids that are bullies come up there, and in 2 nights, they go back a different kid. So I'm pretty sure if kids can learn, I think adults can learn. Number two, I want to see our council, you know, make a smart decision on the vision of this island. We cannot just think 1-2 years. You got to think 20, 30 years down the road. You know, having proper vision. And I look in a paper, there's a bunch of raises going out, you know. I think raises are great. I think people should have a raise. But our economy is in a red. We're in a deficit, and I don't think the raises are merited right now. We got to tighten our belt. It's not a time to get a raise. It's a no-brainer, and I could not believe when I saw it in a paper, you know. When we had a state lost money, they took teachers out on furloughs. We still have not received the money that we lost during those furloughs. You don't see teachers going out there and grumbling, you know, asking for a raise. If we get it, we get it. If we don't get it, we suck it up. I say they got to suck it up, local terms. Cut back the spending, cut back the raise, and do the job for $107,000, not $114,000.
Not $114,000. Yeah, I think...
I mean, give back that $7,000 raise. I mean, anybody can challenge Billy DeCosta and tell me why you need $7,000 more a year when everybody else is struggling. When the water bill went up, when the garbage bill, your taxes on your car registration, your homeowner's taxes. I mean, when everything is going up, you need a raise. Tell me the truth. You know, so.
Well, it also seems like those leaders, the department heads, the mayor, you know, people who are in decision-making capacity in the county, they should lead by example. They should, you know, if they're talking about funding cuts, they should take that funding cut. They should have their salaries be freeze, or maybe take a 5% cut, you know, because where is leadership going to start? Where's the buck going to stop?
I tell you what I saw happen. I saw we went to a football game when Pearl City played Kapa, and the scoreboard didn't even work at our stadium. I mean, you're coming down from an outside island. You got a Division II playoff game. It's a highlight of our local activities to watch football. We're proud of our Kapa boys. We had no scoreboard. I mean, come on, man. Can we at least make things like that work so we can enjoy our game? I've never watched a high school game in the mainland without a scoreboard.
Well, I'm just glad that Kapa was putting points on the field, you know. Even if they didn't
you
get
know,
up on the
Kapaz
board.
Kapaz football team were good back in the 80s when I played. They had athletes like Hiram Hee and Lawrence Munden and Cummings and you name it. They had it all. But they had no leaders. That's why they could never win us. Kapaz got the leaders now. They got the right leaders leading those boys, and it's going to be a long time before somebody else step on Kapaz. It's just like our community here on Kauai. We need the right leaders in place. If we get the right leaders, we can move ahead. How's that?
You didn't rhyme, but you said it.
Yeah. You know what I think, my friend? And I'm going to close with this one, Jonathan. I think people are a little bit intimidated when they see a politician like Billy DeCosta unleashes his chain and run for government, because it scares them a little bit to know that a guy like Billy DeCosta don't take $1 from anybody. He got his issues in place. He got his piece of the pie already in the community. So I'm ready to give back. I've been willing to do it for many years now, and I had my chance. Didn't get in. Maybe next time. But I want to tell our community thank you for supporting me. You know, those couple of pig hunters that showed up at my house and had dinner that told me they didn't register to vote, but they wanted to have a plate of food and drink a beer. You can come again. Just please register next time when you come out. That was kind of funny that night of the election party. But anyway, God bless you, Jonathan.
Well, thank
God
you.
God bless the island of Kauai and all our listeners. I had a good time. I had a good time going on the radio with Carlos and taking those pop shots.
Yeah, I heard that. That was a good one. I thought you handled yourself pretty well.
I think every candidate takes some pop shots. Yeah. I like those guys calling up and ruffling my feathers, you know?
Sure.
They did a good thing. They keep everybody honest. How's that?
Well, thank you for calling in, Billy DeCosta, and
all right.
I hope that you will find a way to stay creatively engaged in the process. You know, there's only us here on the island, so together, somehow, we got to figure it out, because nobody else is going to do this for us.
Yeah. Yeah, I put my effort in with the kids. Like I said before, I do that environmental program for the state, so I have kids from all over the island, slowly grooming them, molding them. You know, I asked them a simple question when they drove from Koloa to Kikaha and up to Koke. They basically saw a lot of weeds and grass growing on the island from that side, mountainside. They saw very few cattle grazing, and they saw a few fields of corn. And they basically told me, Uncle Bill, there's a lot of land that we should be growing food. So when you give them that idea and you start that little brewing in their mind, it's basically a supply and demand. Huh? You got the supply of 1.2 million people on Oahu. You know, you got, sorry, that's a demand, and then you create the supply, grow the food. You can have a market within itself ready on the island to be sustainable. Huh? But we import 91% of our products, and kind of a shame. So, but the kids will figure it out sooner or later, Jonathan. Just a matter of grooming them in the right way.
Well, I think that kids are sometimes more open to new ideas. They don't have such bad habits yet. Adults are a little bit more tricky to educate, I think. Because they think they already know it all.
You said a mouthful, and I can be somewhat hypocritical of that too sometimes. You know, I coach football with a bunch of younger coaches, and sometimes I think I know it all, and I learn from them. So I think if we can just stop, sit back, and be absorbing to learn from everybody, whether you're a kid, middle age, or a grandpa or grandma, you know, learn. You know, open up and learn. How's that?
Well, that's great. Thanks so much for joining us here. Appreciate that.
Brother.
And
best you, Jonathan.
Oh, mahalo, and best of luck to you.
Take care. Aloha. Bye.
You're listening to KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea. Let's see, what else we have? K224CQ, Moloa'a, and K24AL, Haleiwa. So broadcasting on 90.9 on the North Shore, 91.9 over most of the island, 92.7 in Moloa'a and Anahola, and 104.7 over on Oahu. So thanks for tuning in this afternoon and joining us. Appreciate you sharing a little bit of your afternoon with us here at KKCR. And the phone lines are once again open at 826-7771. We're going to go to a little music break and come back, hopefully with calls from you and some more good things to talk about. 826-7771.
Grow up and blow away.
If you're just tuning in, this is Out of the Box on KKCR, your Kauai Community Radio. Happy to talk about anything you want to talk about. The phone lines are open, 826-7771, and we have a caller just calling in right now. Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
About Kauai's welfare. And he
caller?
Was just what?
Can you hear me?
Hey, Jonathan.
Hey. You were, like, in mid-sentence when I brought you onto the board, so let me just welcome you back onto the air now.
Well, hey, Billy, if you're still listening, I wish you the best of luck. You know, there's always next year, like the big game, like the Super Bowl. If you lose, there's always next year, you know?
Well, the county council races, caller, are every 2 years, but your point is
always
the same.
There's two years, you know, and I admire him because he did call and he did take the questions. A lot of the council people, some of them, didn't want come on the radio as much as he did, you know, and you know, I wish everybody the best of luck. You know, I'll just make a suggestion on this election. You know, I don't know why most people didn't. I mean, it's just bad political. People don't like to endorse candidates. You know, even like Hoosier and Tim Bynum and people, Felicia. People, they never on all the. And on all the debates that they had, nobody ever said, I endorse Destin Barca. You know, or Mayor Carvalho. You know, and that kind of irritated me. Can you hear me?
Oh yeah. So how did you perceive
me,
that?
You know, because,
you think that was like timidity, or was that shrewd calculation?
It's a political way of trying to garner votes on both sides of the stick even Gary and Tim wanted, you know, even though I think in their hearts they were for Barca, you know, they didn't want to nullify any votes that they might have got from people that were for Carvalho.
Sure. Well, that's, you know, that's kind of the way it works. Yeah. Yeah.
Political gamesmanship, you know, and even though, like I'll say, I'll be short, you know, because I could talk for the whole rest of the show. And
I actually, you can't call her because I've got you on, you got 3 minutes max.
Well, I just want to wish Billy all the best of luck, you know, and even though I can't put anything in his mind, I don't know who he was voting for mayor, but he would have gotten a few more votes if he had come out from the very beginning and go, hey, I am Dustin Barca. He's into the same thing that I am, was we import 90% of our food from the mainland. You know, why don't we grow our own food? That was the big platform of Dustin Barca. You know, let's grow our own food. Why are we shipping seed corn to the mainland? You know, let's grow our own food. Billy just said that on the radio, if I heard him correctly. And I'm just saying that, even though I'm being a pundit, you know.
Sure. Well, that you're invited to be a pundit here on the radio today.
I'm going, Billy, you know, hey, you're a good guy. I wish you the best of luck. Your life is blessed. You know, you have a healthy family and land, and you live in Kauai. Where else would you want to live? You'd have a lot of things going for you, but you could have been a little out of the box and said right from the beginning, and I'm not putting words in your mouth, but you could have if you felt sincere about it. So, yeah, I'm going to vote for Dustin Barca for mayor. We need a change, you know. You know, and I bet he would have got a lot. I bet he may have got in, you know. But who knows? Like I say, I wish everybody good luck, you know, especially the land, the animals and the trees and the plants and the reef, the fish. It's not just the people, it's the quality of the aina, as they say. And I can't stand all the pesticides and all the poisoning. You know, it's just like, I wish it would just go away. And I guess that's all I really can say. And it's not going away, it doesn't seem to be going away.
Yeah, what do they say?
If
wishes were horses, then beggars would ride.
Beggars would ride, that's right.
Well, it seems like we need to do more than just wish. We need to create viable, concrete, step-by-step processes to make these things viable. You know, a lot of times it's market conditions that don't allow one avenue versus another, because it costs more to do this and you don't get a profit from that. But
right.
But what do you do? How do you achieve proper outcomes when the market itself has debased values?
Well, you know what I think, besides unless the government's so powerful, they're going to do whatever they want anyways, whether we like it or not. You know, science, because the whole debate about the GMOs and the pesticides was all about, well, science, you know, and there's always one scientist will say there's no global warming. Then another scientist will say, well, there is. And they'll go back and forth. And with all the propaganda, you don't know what to believe.
It's really tricky when some people are making just staggering amounts of money to get the truth out of them, you know, if it doesn't serve their pocket.
Well, of course, you know, because, you know, but I'm keeping my fingers crossed that in the next 5 years, that it will be undeniable scientific proof that atrazine, glyphosate, all these pesticides, these ingredients in these herbicides and pesticides, they'll prove it, just like nicotine causes cancer. They're going to prove it in the next 5 years, and it'll be no one will be able to deny that it's dangerous and it's terrible, and we've got to rise above and find a better way. And that's what I'm hoping for, because I don't think, you know, obviously the elections, you know, didn't happen. They didn't go my way anyways. And I can't see it happening really, because of the deep pockets of these companies, you know. I mean, the minute the GMO labeling starts happening, that's going to be a first step too, you know. And once the ball gets rolling, I think we're going to be in good shape, except for the cleanup.
Yeah,
which is going to take a long time.
Quite a long time. Yeah. Well, we're still haven't cleaned up from the 40s and 50s and 60s, and I think even to the 70s as well. It's like DDT and all the toxicity that was dumped into the pineapple fields here. So
yeah,
we still have a lot of bioremediation to go.
Well, you know, I don't know, Billy, if you're still listening, since you're gracious enough to call up, you know, and I'm glad that you do, you know, that was despicable, what happened to Kailani's car on the west side, about having her lug nuts taken off one of her tires. She could have got killed, you know, or she could have gotten a car wreck on the highway and killed somebody else, you know. And it was all about, because she's an activist. She's not only a Hawaiian activist for Hawaiian sovereignty, she's an activist against the GMOs. And that's a real telling tale of kind of like the underlying current of like the blue shirts versus the red shirts.
Yeah, we got to get past that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we're a rainbow. We're not purple. We're rainbow. Everybody's all one for all and all for one. We live on this tiny little island, and can't we all just get along?
Wise words, my friend.
Take care. Thank you, Jonathan.
All right. Aloha, caller. And we've got another caller standing by. Are you with us on the air, caller?
Yes, I am.
Oh, thank you so much for holding. Welcome to Out of the Box.
Yeah. I was kind of, you know, disappointed with the voting thing. You know, I'm not applying, and I mean, I've been voting for years.
What was it that you were hoping for?
I was hoping for Dustin to have chosen to run for council. That's what I thought. You know, he might have did more of a, have more effect for the things that occur on this island. It seems like the council people, you know, they have a lot of influence on what happens here. So that was my suggestion. You know, I just was kind of disappointed with the old faces, but it's okay. You know, I mean, it's just the way the world works, I guess. Nothing I can do.
One thing I think that we could do as a community is, and I believe that Billy DaCosta made mention of this, is I think only 57% of the registered voters participated in this last election. And so that's only a little bit more than half of the people who registered, but not everybody's registered to vote either. So,
yeah.
I think if we want to see different results in our local democratic grassroots political process, we need to get more people involved in the process.
Exactly. I totally agree with that. People get disappointed, but, I still think it's very important to be involved with the community that we live in, anywhere you live. I totally agree with that. And I was disappointed in that. And you know what really surprised me when I listened to the results in the radio, they said that Kauai would have the most show as far as voting per percentage in the Hawaiian Islands.
Yeah, that just shows you how poorly everybody else is doing if we're the best in that regard.
Right. I was kind of going, wow. People are, like, losing spirit for government.
Well, honestly, can you blame them? I mean, if you're in a car and, the voting process is kind of like the steering wheel, and you steer the wheel to the right and the car keeps going down the road, and you steer the wheel to the left and the car keeps going down the road, pretty soon, what would you do if you were in a car that didn't respond to your steering? So I would, try and get out of that car.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. Obviously you gotta lift up the hood and figure out what's going on and try to fix it. But the first thing you gotta do is get the heck out of that car. That's dangerous.
I totally agree, but I'm struggling, on the island. I've been here. I was born in Hawaiian Islands. My mom was born here and raised here, and I came here back here to raise my family, and my son is 31, my daughter's 33. And now I'm 56, and it's I'm really disappointed in how expensive it is just to drive a car. And then, and also just the rate of the economy just going sky high. I mean, it's really amazing that, the people, most people here aren't highly educated that live in the Hawaiian Islands.
Well, the education system here is not doing a great the local public education system is not doing a great service to
not
the students.
No. So it's just going to be difficult to see the people, and when people do get educated here, they can't get jobs, that they wanted. Like my daughter, she lives in New York now. But it's just amazing. It's just I just can see the changes, and it's kind of sad, but I enjoy it. I still enjoy it here. It's just, I'm sure there's other people that are in the same, feeling the same, that they've lived here that long, and seeing the changes.
There's a lot of longtime families that literally cannot afford to keep living here. Property taxes keep going up. Cost of living keeps going up. Housing costs keep going up. Energy costs keep going up. And the economy here, in terms of the jobs that are available to people, is not enough jobs to have people be able to support themselves and their families and send their kids to school. So,
and it's amazing how I was a boat captain here for a very long time, and what happened was then all of a sudden that blew up, and there's so many new captains, and it's cheaper, they don't pay them as much. It would just cost me so much money just to drive a boat. And it's just really disappointing how the population has changed here. But I'm trying to cope with it. I just wanted to be able to, it's lucky we have this radio station and people like you that listen to anything. And it's, you guys are good listeners too. Not just good talkers, and I really appreciate it too. But those are just some things that bother me, and I just wanted to. I just suggest the young people that get involved in the community things don't give up. But you do have to climb a ladder. You need to get known. You have to be involved in the community.
Sure.
From a younger age too.
Right. You got to start early, and you got to persevere. It's not always easy. And it can be really challenging and frustrating at times, especially when you put so much effort in and you don't see any results right away. But, you know, it's not what you do on one day. It's what you do day after day after day.
Right.
Into the, you know, decades.
I believe we could save this island. You know, I mean, you know, we can change things. I still have belief in that. So.
Oh, we certainly can. We could make tremendous changes starting tomorrow. We just got to go to bed tonight and get a good night's rest and wake up all refreshed and centered and start thinking clearly, you know, working in conjunction with each other, not trying to, you know, play politics of division, but saying, hey, we got serious challenges here. Let's stop doing the same things we've been doing, because that's going to only keep producing the same results. We got to make some real changes, and it's not going to be easy, but it is going to be a great value to us as a community if we really make that commitment.
I mean, I was here when they had sugar, you know, on this island, and then, you know, it's funny because Brazil, they make their own fuel out of sugar cane. We could have been doing it. We could have had our own fuel on our island a long time ago, but it just didn't work out that way. And so now it's like, thanks to GMO. But hopefully that will change that too. So I appreciate your time. I'm sure it's other people want to get on it.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for calling. I appreciate that caller.
Yeah, mahalo.
Aloha. And we've got a couple other callers standing by. Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Welcome to Out of the Box.
This is Malibu Dave. How are you guys all doing today?
Good, Malibu Dave. How are you?
Real fine. You folks have all been speaking about feeling good about yourselves, how to get up in the morning, how to challenge yourself, how to recognize a new day with a positive outlook. Well, I found that missing link, and I want to share it with you.
Lay it on me, brother.
If we go under the thought that the blueprint has never changed, God and his buddies put it together, we're designed as hunter-gatherers, okay? Being a hunter-gatherer, they have taken it out of the equation. So by running in sand with your stick, gang.
Running in sand in bare feet, right?
Correct, in soft sand, and allowing the frequency and the fiber feel its naturalness, because what you're doing is you're allowing the fabric to feel its natural original blueprint. Soft sand takes effort. Sex takes effort.
Yeah, but they're both so rewarding.
And giving birth takes effort. So by us as creatures of God, since the blueprint hasn't changed and our minds have gone into the 21st century, our mind from the neck up has discovered intellectual intelligence. But from the neck down, the fabric doesn't care about if you went to Harvard or not. It still wants what the original blueprint dictates.
Well,
you with me on that?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for calling in. We've got a couple other callers standing by. Do you want to make a closing comment?
Yeah, so if we build a place here on Kauai and we'll teach little kids, 3- and 4-year-olds, to establish running in soft sand before they get all judgmental, thinking they're cool, then they'll have an opportunity to experience the love and God of what they are. But if you shut that hunter-gatherer vibration off and the kids don't start learning how to run in the sand first before they do everything else, because everything else is just technique and style and ego. Soft sand will keep you humble. You'll never wake up sick and stupid.
Well, thank you, caller. Appreciate that.
Okay, so what I'm listening to now is educated noise, but you folks have no substance behind the thought because your priorities are not where they belong. Because if everyone's really that super smart, went to college, you should all have the ability to run soft sand for at least an hour. And then you'll have substance. Otherwise, what we hear is just educated noise. It's just sound, but no substance.
Well, those are some good things for us to think about. We're going to go to the next caller, so I want to thank you for calling in. Soft sand, it's worth running in, I think. Aloha, caller. You're on Out of the Box. We have just a few minutes left before the end of the show, but I wanted to make sure, give you a chance to get in and get on the air.
Hello.
Hello, caller. You're on the air.
I just wanted to make a comment. comment about Dustin's campaign.
Okay.
I just want to remind everyone that's listening what an incredible feat he accomplished by running for mayor. I mean, Bernard Carvalho is a very popular guy. He's very well likable.
He is a very likable person.
He's been the mayor for 6 years. It was a seemingly impossible battle. And the fact that he got more than 35% of the vote is just outstanding.
Yeah, it's over almost 8,200 votes.
He had to work for every single vote that he got because he was a first-time politician. Most of them do not win their first run. And I just hope that people don't take his loss as a lose. Because as he said, if we win, we win. And if we lose, we still win. Because that 8,000 people is a big portion of the population. And it's a huge chunk. And it did make a big statement.
Well, I think your point is well taken, caller. I think a lot of people who have never been involved in the process before have very little idea how much organizational capacity you need to run a campaign across the entire island. The logistics of it, the purchasing of election materials, signs, stickers. Sometimes people do radio advertising, newspaper advertising. It's a very complicated and a grueling process. And if you've never done it before, you got a pretty steep learning curve. For someone like Dustin Barker to run against the mayor, the incumbent mayor, who inherited his political machine from the previous mayoral administrations and has all of the, heads of departments and of the county workforce working for him, it's a tremendous showing that Dustin was able to get as many votes as he did. And one thing I think is really interesting is I think that Dustin brought a lot of new voters into the process. So I think he's really right about, win, lose, or draw. It's a win because you have to get involved in the process. You will have no ability to shape outcomes.
Absolutely. I would love to see the statistics of how many new voters were actually voted for Dustin as opposed to voted for the incumbent.
Yeah, it's a little tricky to parse all that stuff out, but I have looked at the precinct by precinct reports, and Dustin, he came within 4 votes of Bernard Carvalho in the Kapa'a, Wailua Homesteads area. He was only 4 votes shy in that precinct, and then in the precincts of Kilauea and Hanalei, Dustin Barca actually got more votes than Bernard did. So I suppose you could say that he's the mayor of Hanalei and Kilauea.
Well, I would like to think he's still our mayor because I'm just enjoying seeing all of these Barca for Mayor signs and bumper stickers everywhere. And I still believe that this Barca for Mayor campaign was more than just about the mayoral race. It's a bigger part of the movement, and it's just amazing.
I think you're right about that. And I think, personalities aside, I think that Dustin's effort represents a new generation of people becoming interested and realizing the importance of grassroots democracy and stepping up to the plate or charging that wave and going for it. And it's only through more people getting involved in the process that we have any hope of bringing real, fundamental, lasting positive change to our community. So I just, salute every single person who ran for office. It's not easy to do, and you learn a whole lot doing it. And I look forward to having discussions with some of the people who ran for races, Dustin and other folks, and sharing with you what they learned through the process, because I think that we can all learn from that.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, thanks for calling in. We're getting towards the end of the show here, top of the hour, and Dove is coming in next with a brand new show. Let's see. It's called Evolve. Evolve, which is, I think it has the word love in it spelled backwards, if I'm not mistaken. So Dove is going to be in, no longer doing the Fresh Jams on Saturday nights, but coming in now right after Out of the Box on Thursday afternoons. So thanks so much for tuning into the show tonight. And thanks so much for your calls and stuff. We don't have any more time for any more callers. So I just wanted to thank everyone for being here tonight. Thanks for tuning in and listening. And if you're out there, Pops, aloha, ahui ho. I'm glad that you and Robin are here visiting. And stay safe, drive safe, and have a wonderful time. Aloha and ahui ho.